We're talking now with Brent Kissling, who is, of course, with the Oklahoma Department of Commerce, executive director here. And Brent, one of your duties over the really the last year or thereabouts now has been working on the census, the 2020 census. Early on, the governor said, hey, we want to really make sure we count everybody. And that's been your job since then, right?
Right. The census has been a top priority for the state administration ever since the election last year. And I was fortunate that the governor appointed me as the chair of our state complete count committee last summer. But the Department of Commerce has been involved in the census well before that. We spent most of 2019 working on the data part of what the U.S. Census Bureau works on, because, as you know, everybody gets something in the mail. And in order for you to get something in the mail, you have to have first your address in their database. And so we spent a lot of time in 2019 updating the databases with the Census Bureau and making sure that everybody was included. We actually led the nation in the number of addresses that were added to the Census Bureau database, and I think that's going to reap us huge rewards next year.
Now, you know, obviously the kind of the process as they made the call that, you know, here we're doing the census again, everybody. They did indeed send that information out via mail, but then also the process is that you can actually get online. And is this really about the first time you can do registration online?
Yes. 2020 census is the first time in American history that you can fill your census information out online. And I would suggest that all of your listeners go to OKLetsCount.org. That is our state website. It has all of the resources you might need. You can download information to post on social media, things you might want to put in the papers or on the radio or on television, videos that might be added. But you can also, right off the top, you can click on the banner that says sign up here. It'll take you directly to the U.S. Census Bureau website. And if you got something in the mail, it's going to have a code on there. You can plug in the code and get started. But there's also a link that says, I never got anything in the mail. I don't know that I'm counted. You can click there and go through the exact same process.
So, you know, along the way of getting all this up and running and everything happening in the early days of 2020, had a little pandemic come along. How did that change everything, Brent?
Well, it changed things actually significantly. We had a huge partnership going with our libraries in Oklahoma to be able to have folks who didn't have broadband access or access to a computer or handheld device. That was supposed to be their local location where they could go sign up. But fortunately, we approached the census in 2019 and 2020 similar to you would with a political campaign. We had a chairman. We have a chairman, chairwoman in each of the 77 counties. So we've had a ground game in place for the last 12 months. And any time that we see that there might be an issue in that area, we can go to those local committees and local chairs and set something up. And so a lot of our communities that maybe didn't have access to a community center or someplace like that so that folks could access a computer or broadband connectivity, we brought in mobile units. We used partners. We used the tribes. We used community action agencies and councils of government, nonprofit organizations. The state really came together to solve a problem, and I think it's going to be great for us for years to come.
Now, we can go online, obviously, and check numbers. How are we doing?
Well, we're 41st right now in the nation in our response rate. 58% of our Oklahoma families have responded at this point. The national average is about 63%. So that makes us 41st in the nation, which is top 10 on the wrong end of the spectrum. The fortunate thing is that in 2010, we were 48th in our response rate. So at least we have improved significantly since last census. But Ron, we've got a long ways to go yet and a short time to get there.
How do you do it?
Well, it starts with getting the word out and making sure in your local community people realize that it's time to do it now. That's why we've partnered with you, with your daily email. That's why we partner with radio stations and media outlets all across the state, just to make sure that folks know that now is the time, and by the end of September, we need to have self-responded. So it starts there. Talk about it with the folks that you drink coffee with at your church, any organizations you might have. If you've listened to the governor or any of the legislature recently, any time that they have a stump speech right now, they are talking about the census. It affects our federal funding. And it affects our representation. It affects representation in Washington, but also on the local level. If you're if you live in Burlington or Broken Arrow or Altus, you want to make sure that you are represented at the state capitol. And those same census numbers that the U.S. Census Bureau collects mm-hmm. are the ones that our state legislature uses to draw our state lines.
Now, you indicated that everybody's trying to get that word out. There's also some, I forget the proper name of these, enumerators, folks that are out actually knocking on doors yes. that don't have an actual address in the database.
That is true. In order to get something in the mail, you have to have what they call a city style address. So you have to have, mm-hmm. 123 South Main Street as your address. In Oklahoma, we have a lot of folks that have a rural route mm-hmm. or something that can't be GPS designated. And so the Census Bureau has used the update and leave process, which means they update the information and they leave a form hanging on your door for you to fill out, go online, you can mail it in, you can call in on a phone number. So you can do it that way. Mm-hmm. And then if you have not responded, then yes, enumerators will come to your neighborhood and will try to determine how many people live in each of the homes.
And so because of COVID, the dates kind of got all jumbled up, didn't they?
They did. Originally, the self-response date deadline was July 31st. Mm-hmm. And then whenever COVID hit, the field offices for the Census Bureau were shut down for several months. And so they pushed everything back, and the reason why you were supposed to self-respond by the end of July was so the U.S. Census Bureau could get the information, work through it, verify all of the addresses, and then send the information to the president by December 31st. Well, with the adjustments in time schedule, they had decided to change that to April 1st and keep the rest of the timeline the same. Well, then they realized that the information was going to get to the states way too late in order to redraw some of those district lines. So it has moved quite a bit. But today, September 30th, if you've not responded by then, there's a really good chance you won't be counted. Mm-hmm. And it'll affect us as a state for the next 10 years.
You mentioned the fact that it cost us money. I know you've actually figured the amount that it does cost us.
Yes, it's just over $1,700 per person per year. And if you start doing the math on that, we've actually, if you go to okletscount.org, you can pull up your county and your community and see how much it is costing your city or your county if you're 2% undercounted or 5% undercounted. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that, for a city like Tulsa, it's over $1 billion over the 10 years. And,
wow.
And for our state, it could be tens of billions of dollars if we're just 5% undercounted. And right now, since we're behind the national average, I would suggest that we're leaving money on the table and representation on the table.
And, you and I, last time we talked about the census, you had that goal out there. You wanted to see us be able to obviously retain our congressional seats, but maybe even add one.
Yes, if you'll remember, in 2000, we spent no time, no money as a state on census, absolutely none. And we lost our sixth congressional seat, went down to five.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, we put zero money toward the census. We did not have a state complete count committee. We did some things in pockets around the state, but nothing as a coordinated statewide effort. We wanted to cure that ill this year and put some dollars behind it, put some manpower behind it. And the U.S. Census Bureau is estimating us at 3.95 million people. That's what they think the number is going to be. We think we can for sure get past 4 million people. Personally, I've got a goal of 4.1 million, which would be a pretty big task if we could reach that. I think the work that we did on adding data last year and then the big push on the marketing this year is really going to help us out there.
A lot of folks need to sign up, though, to make that a reality.
They really do. And I hope that folks won't be scared of the process. I mean, it's 9 questions. And if you go through those 9 questions, I guarantee you, Ron, there's more information on most people's social media account than what is in those 9 questions. It's not intrusive. It's asking questions about how many people live in the house. Do you own the house? Do you rent the house? It's some simple questions like that. please go and fill it out. If it is one of the most secure databases in the country. I have one person on my staff that was able to at least get in and see the addresses. They had to go through 2 months of background checks. We had to identify one room here within the Department of Commerce that was the census room that nobody else could go in or out of. It had to have a dedicated line for them to connect their computer, and it had to be a specific computer that was sent from the U.S. Census Bureau. I have never been involved in a government program that has been this secure, and I guarantee you there's other things out there that are less secure than this. So please fill it out.
Okay. One other question, beyond the census. What give me a couple ideas of things that y'all are working on right now that you're real kind of pleased about as far as things that are positive for the state of Oklahoma?
Well, the big news right now is our unemployment rate. As you know, we peaked 2 months ago at over 14% unemployment in our state, which was, I mean, almost reminds you of the 30s. So it was devastating, but we have been so fortunate that we bounced back as quickly as we have. And last month, our numbers came out at 6.6%, which ranks us fifth in the nation in unemployment rate. I think that's a great testament to Oklahomans taking care of business. I think it's a great testament to our businesses that have opened up responsibly and have served the needs of Oklahoma citizens. And you're seeing other folks from other states come in here as well. We have more companies on our pipeline list right now of companies wanting to move to Oklahoma than we've had in at least 5 years. People are seeing the way that we treat business in Oklahoma, and they want to be a part of it. And so that's been the most exciting thing thus far.
I guess what the challenge right now is out there in the oil patch. And I know you're probably having conversations with a lot of those folks on an ongoing basis.
It is. In fact, if the price of oil was $80, we'd be talking about being number one in the nation in just about everything right now. It has been such a challenge in oil and gas, and that really hit before COVID. Mm-hmm. And then whenever everybody stopped traveling and buying automobile fuel and airline fuel, it really hammered that industry. And the tough thing, Ron, is that a lot of the support programs that have come out of Washington and even the things that we've been able to do here on the state level can help a small business or maybe somebody in manufacturing, but there are so few things out there that are specifically designed to support the oil and gas industry. And it has been a tough deal. Probably the number one question I get asked is, I've been traveling the state, and we have been traveling quite a bit the last month or so, is what can we do for oil and gas prices? And I tell folks it's a global market. It would be difficult for one state to really do something. But what we want to do in Oklahoma is make sure whenever folks do start drilling again, that first well is drilled in Oklahoma. We want to make sure that we are the state where folks want to invest capital. And if that's the case, we will bounce back.
Okay.